Good to see you this morning. Let's take our Bibles now, if you will, and turn to the book of Genesis, the second chapter division, Genesis chapter 2. We continue this lesson and maybe one more lesson on listening to God. Listening to God. God's still speaking. Are we listening? But then today's lesson is listening and obeying. It's one thing to listen. It's one thing to listen to the principles the preacher gives or somebody gives from the Word of God, but it's another thing to obey those principles. A lot of people listen, they hear, they know, but they don't obey. And God wants us to listen. There are different ways that He speaks to us through His Word, the Holy Spirit, sometimes through other people. I think sometimes that pastors have the responsibility before God to give biblical truth and advice to their people when they come to them. And I remember, I'm thinking now of a young man who came to me one time and another staff worker and talked with us, and we gave him what we felt was good advice and from the years of ministry we'd been in. And also, we knew the situation he would be going into, and we warned this young man, be careful, because that's not a good situation. And we would advise you not to go to work for that man. And he did go ahead against that. We said, you need to stay in school, finish your training, get all your schooling, and then God will open the door at the right time. But he sort of knew everything, and at least thought he did. And so he went ahead against our advice, did what he did, and then what we told him was going to happen did happen, and then the next thing you know, there's a divorce, and then he's out of the ministry. That's a sad thing, because I think God wanted to use the pastor and leadership to try to help the young man, but he didn't want to listen to what might be God's will. He was too anxious to do that. Well, Genesis tells us about some other people that didn't listen to God. Genesis chapter 2, look at verses 15 and 17, and just keep your place. We'll be there in chapter 2 and 3. Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, he spoke to him, commanded him, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. God speaking, God told him what to do, what not to do. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we know he didn't die physically that day, but spiritually, there was a spiritual death, and the reality of ultimately dying did come into existence. God spoke to them. God spoke to Israel on different occasions, and they would not listen to God. God gave them servants to give them the messages. They had Moses and Joshua and Jeremiah and Isaiah and others whom God put in that place to warn Israel, listen to what God is saying, do what God says. And they wouldn't do it, so they had to pay the price. And still, in some ways today, as a nation, because they rejected Christ, they're still paying a price. And Adam and Eve, in our text, believe it or not, they were in a perfect environment. I was thinking about that and saying, this is sort of trite, I guess, but I thought they didn't even have any mosquitoes in there in the Garden of Eden. I was, you sit out on your patio and you want to read the Bible and you can't do it for those creatures. But they, in other words, everything was just perfect. I mean, it was just wonderful. It was just perfect. And the only restriction God gave me, he said, there's one tree. There's just one. And you got to leave that alone. God spoke, and he said, leave it alone. They had a beautiful environment. They didn't have to do that. That was the restriction. And God was very clear about it, too, wasn't he? It wasn't gray area. It was exact. It was emphatic. It was what God said to do. It was very concise and clear. You didn't have to be a rocket science to figure out. God said, don't eat of the fruit of that tree, because the time you do it, you're going to die. And so that's sort of the way the devil works in our life, isn't it? The thing that troubles us the most, the forbidden fruit in our life could be a number of different things. And that's where the devil really works and wants us to go to that area because he wants us to violate what God says to do. And so we today have the same problem that Israel had and that Adam and Eve had there. And God tells us, thou shalt not. Forever thou shalt not, it's always there, every one of them, for our protection. God loves us, and God loved Adam and Eve, and he wanted to protect them. It's for our protection. It's not preventing us to have joy. That wasn't why God said don't do it. God's not somebody that doesn't want us to be joyful and enjoy the life that he gives us. But there are certain things that are expressions of his love. And he knows what's best. And if we violate that, then we're going to pay the price. And that's what they did. We still suffer the results today of what Adam and Eve did all those years ago. They didn't listen to God, and now we have headaches because they didn't listen to God. We age, and we have arthritis and heart problems and all the rest. There may be a few exceptions, but we have all of those things. And it goes back to Adam and Eve. They didn't listen to God. They didn't do what God said to do. And I'm still a little mad at them about doing that. But at any rate, I want to give you about, in your outline, you have about 8 principles that of things that happen when we fail to listen to God. And I mean obey what we hear. Fail to listen and obey to what God tells us. Number one, we listen to the wrong voices. If we don't listen to God's voice, we're going to listen to the wrong voices. That's just part of it. We live in a world of sin, don't we? I mean, sin is all around us. And it's more rampant in the United States today than it used to be. Now, we don't have the Garden of Eden with no sin in our world. We have sin everywhere. And there are many other, what we might call attractive voices, situations, if you want to call them that are appealing to us, pulling us toward going against the will of God. And the devil's purpose is always to destroy. That's what he wants to do to us. And so we know that he is wanting to do that. And we give excuses to God. God wants us to obey him, and we'll say, I know God, but, and we'll give some kind of excuse, or I really don't mind hearing that, but I'm just not going to do it, God. I'm not going to do it right now. I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm just not going to do it right now. And consequently, we turn to the wrong voices. We begin to listen to Satan, the demonic influences that work on us, and the surroundings, the environment that appeals to us, and we turn to the wrong voices. And that leads us away from the will of God. Always leads us from the will of God, and also God's main purpose for our life, which is to bring him glory and the plan that he has for us. And we detour some of that sometimes simply because we listen to the wrong voices. And that's what happens when we don't listen to what God tells us. Secondly, we are easily deceived when we don't listen to the voice of God. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Genesis chapter 3, if you can turn there. If not, I'll just read it. But he says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Boy, he's still good at that. Questioning God's word constantly. So, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God say that? Are you kidding me? Did God really say that? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's what God told us. And the serpent, verse 4, said unto the woman, ye shall not, underscore the word not, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. So Satan deceived Eve. We might hear the words today, don't be so narrow-minded. Don't be so spiritual that you know earthly good, all that kind of thing. Get the truth. Ye shall not surely die. The devil says, let me tell you, there's fun in doing this. You need to do this. You'll have a great time. And this is the right way to go. And he questions what God has said. And here he said in verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Well, go back to chapter 2, verse 15, verse 17 rather. And he said at the end of that verse, thou shalt surely die. It's so close. Have you ever noticed how close the devil's junk is to what God really says? And he translates himself into an angel of light to deceive people. And the doctrine and the language and the words sound so much like Bible words, and all of that sounds spiritual, and yet it's so far away from the truth. And that's the way the devil does even today. So not listening is an act of rebellion when we don't listen and obey God. And perspective in our lives gets totally unbalanced. When we don't listen to God, when we do listen to God, we have a clearer and sharper spiritual matter of moral issues. We understand those better. In other words, we want to obey God, and our perspective is good when we listen to God about all these areas of righteousness. But the listener has to have discernment. Whenever we listen to God, we do that. Then when we fail to listen, Satan easily deceives us. It's sort of like, if I could illustrate this way, like parents. They have children and they say, the parents say, we're going to go to church Sunday morning, going to Sunday school, going to go to church 11 o'clock. We're going to go to Sunday night. We are going to go to the Wednesday night services, and you're going to go with us. And then the devil tells the kids, that's just the only entertainment they know. We don't want that. We don't want to go. And they'll say, surely, the devil will say to them, surely you don't want to be like those old people and all of those people in the church. There's something better out there for you. And so they go the other direction. And that's the way Satan works. He deceives us many times in a similar way. And Satan shouts. We may not hear audibly the shout, but he shouts in our mind and in our hearts and shouts a lie to us as he did to Adam and Eve. And he appeals to our flesh, always to that old nature that we still have, and he drowns out God's voice. Many times God speaks to us in a still small voice. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God too, speaks to us, and we begin to rationalize that. We have illogical thoughts that Satan puts in our mind. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't match up to the Word of God. We tolerate, we allow attitudes in our life and actions that we know are wrong. It may be jealousy, it may be pride, it may be envy, it may be depression, it may be lust, it could be a number of different things, but we allow those things, those actions in our life that we know is wrong. And then we fail to listen to him, and we listen to other voices, and we listen to the voice of Satan. And so we have problems because of that. Thirdly, we begin to express pride and independence from God. The bottom line of sin usually is independence. That's what got Lucifer in trouble, and that's exactly what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They wanted that independence. Look at Genesis 3:5 again, or back to Genesis 3:5. For God doth know, the devil's still lying, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, God's fooling you. If you listen to me, your eyes will be open. You'll be like gods. You'll be little gods. And that appealed, evidently, it appealed to Eve when Satan told her that. And so he didn't tell her the whole thing, did he? Satan didn't tell Eve that she would one day hate the day that she listened to him. He didn't tell her that. And when we choose to disobey God's revealed truth and we begin to act independently of God, it shows that we are proud, that we think we know more than God, and that we can say to God, God, hey, I can handle this. I know what you've said, but I'm thinking for myself, and I can handle this whole thing. So independence is really a way of pride against God, And we're foolish. God is omniscient. God knows everything. We think we know more than God, and God's told us what to do, what not to do. And we're going to act in our own logic and our own rationale and our own reasoning when God has told us what's right and what's wrong. And so we make the mistake of listening to Him. That's sort of like a young kid, a young child saying, I have the answers and I know how to handle it. I know what's nutritious. You know, your children know what's nutritious. It's Reese cups, amen? They always know that. But you have to correct them and say, no, you need to eat this and you need to eat that. You need to eat the other. You can't just eat popcorn and candy all the time and ice cream. And so we think we figured it all out, but that's like a child thinks they know all the answers. God has the answers. He's given us the answers. We need to do what He says and not question what He says. And what He says do is the right thing to do. So I've learned, and I'm sure you have too, some things I wish I'd never learned because I learned them the hard way. I experienced what I really didn't want to experience. Why? Because I didn't listen to God. And you can go back to my childhood days, my teenage days for sure, and that type thing. And throughout life, there's been times when you just didn't listen to God, and that was a bad thing. So Satan's appeal is that of independence and pride. God, I know you think you know everything, but I'm thinking for myself, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. So it's a bad thing. So when we fail to listen to God, number four, we make decisions that appeal to the flesh. Unfortunately, we didn't get rid of the flesh when we got saved, didn't we? We have the old nature. It's still there. It's not dead. It's alive. We have to deal with that old nature versus the spiritual nature. That's the battle that goes on every day. It goes on in my life, every day of my life. And if you're honest about it, it goes on in your life every day, different areas. But Satan doesn't appeal to the spiritual part of us. If we hunger for God more, if we thirst to know God better, and we want to do that, we desire to obey God more, and we want to know the Word of God and to obey the Word of God and understand all that and have prevailing prayer, you know that Satan does not appeal to us to do those things. He does everything to fight us, to keep us from doing those things. Look at Genesis 3, 6 through 7. Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. Man always tries to cover up his sin with good works. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That was quite a predicament they were in on this occasion where they didn't listen to God and they were making wrong decisions because of that. And God speaks to our spirits, but the devil appeals to the flesh, and that's what he did with Eve. Appealed to the flesh, she appealed to Adam, and then we had the downfall. So God speaks to our spirits. We have the old nature that's still within us. We fight that. The principle of sin abides with us. But here's the thing. We don't have to yield to it. We do not have to yield to the old flesh. There's no reason for that. We do not have to be dominated by the flesh unless we choose to be dominated by the flesh. If we make the choice, then we choose to do it. But we have the power in us that is powerful in us to give us the ability to overcome anything that we deal with in our lives that are contrary to the Word of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, the demons, the devil, and all of the fleshly things that are there. Now, if we're saved, then we must listen to God. And when we cease to listen to God, the moment we do that, we are prone to be deceived. The world marches to a different drumbeat than the devil's, than the Lord's drumbeat. They march to the devil's drumbeat. So we have to decide And based on the flesh, if we decide on the flesh, we're going to make the wrong decision. Even though we're saved, even though we're born again, Satan works on us just like he works on unsaved people. He has more control over them. And then with us, there's no excuse. We have the Holy Spirit, but we do have the right to make choices. So we make decisions that appeal to the flesh when we don't listen to God. And what's the problem with that? It'll get you in a lot of trouble and bring the chastening hand of God upon you. And then we make, number five, we make excuses for our wrongs. We begin to make excuses. It's amazing to me, and the pastors that are in here, those in that work know, sometimes we just, when the people maybe leave our office and they've given us those lame excuses, we just want to sit in our chair a minute and just shake our head and say, my goodness, I can't believe that, my goodness. But at any rate, that's what happens. In chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, God did not want information. He knew where they were. What did God want when he asked, where are you? He wanted confession. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to admit there was something wrong. And so God wanted confession, not information. And there's a new thing that took place here that they had not known before, and that was something called fear. Fear was a new emotion for Adam. Look at chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. First time we have a record of something like that in the Bible, fear. Because I was naked, I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Ah, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest unto me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, men hadn't gotten over that yet, have we? I don't guess. But anyway, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, this is what's going to happen to you. And so we have these things that took place, and God is talking to them. And many of us still try to hide our sins emotionally from God, and we try to blame our upbringing, we try to blame our temperament, we try to blame our natural bent, whatever it may be, but there is really no excuse for it. Now, we try to rationalize our disobedience, but I promise you, God does not accept excuses. Other people might, but God does not accept excuses. And our alibis and our excuses many times are very unacceptable, and we are responsible to God every time for every response we make concerning the spiritual, the good, or the flesh, the bad, and listen, whether we listen to God, God's word, or whether we listen to the devil. And then number six, we suffer the consequences. If you choose to sin, you choose to take the consequences with that sin. It's going to come. And God listed the consequences that they would endure. Look at what he told the serpent, verses 23 through 24. And he said, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And he drove out the man. And also at the place of the east of the garden of the Eden, cherubim and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He drove them out in verses 16 and 17. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That goes back to Eve's sin. And then there's Adam in verse 17. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, you should have listened to me, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, thistles, shall bring forth to thee. Shall it bring forth to thee? Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, till you die. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. And then Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then God spoke to them. He gave the plan of salvation, verse 21. We provided the skins, the coats of skins, the blood sacrifice. But that was something that God was teaching them. So the serpent also had to suffer, and he was to crawl on his belly, the serpent, throughout. We know now that that's exactly what they're still doing. And so it was a curse that came upon them because of that. And I say that to say that the most serious business, and let this sink in, the most serious business we engage in today is listening to God and heeding the voice of God. That is the most serious business. That means we've got to, again, go back, read the Bible, know what God says, listen to who God, to those that God's putting in our life and situations. And that would be the right thing to do. And I know in counseling, many times that's part of what a pastor has to do. I've seen times when I've counseled people and they went against that. Sometimes it is a wife who counsels a husband. He gets them into a financial mess because he doesn't listen to her. Sometimes it's the other way around. Pastors warn teenagers and youth directors, and yet they get pregnant. They have babies out of wedlock, all of that because they don't listen to God's people, to God's word, and what God says. So it's wise to ask God, when you're dealing with something, maybe one more time, Lord, tell me your will. Make known to me your will. Make it crystal clear, and I will do what you say to do. And then number 7, others around us are hurt. That's a sad thing. It's so true. We cannot sin in isolation. Our sin always affects somebody else. If a husband fails to listen, then his wife is hurt, vice versa. Children fail to listen, and then parents are hurt. There's probably not a parent in here that hadn't had some hurt that came to you from your children at some point because they didn't listen to you, and that may still be the case. Businessman fails to listen to God, and his partner suffers. Leaders in the nation fail to listen, and then the whole nation suffers. Righteousness exalteth a nation. So Adam and Eve didn't listen, and there's the alienation of the human race because of it. And then number 8, we miss God's very best. Do we want God's very best, or do we just want a ho-hum relationship with Him? The Garden of Eden was God's best, the very best, and Adam and Eve lost it. And if you fail to listen, you will go through life missing God's best. When we fail to listen, we miss God's best. Are you willing to accept Satan's substitute for God's supreme gifts that He wants to give you, for God's best? And so many Christians substitute that. When you listen to obey God's best, or when you listen and obey God's best, and God is going to take care of you. Saul was told by Samuel what to do when he was with the Amalekites. He did not do it, and Samuel told him, he said, you know, you didn't do what God said to do. What means the bleeding of these sheep? You didn't kill the king, and you didn't destroy and leave all the materials there and destroy the king's life, all of those things. 1 Samuel 15:24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Not God's voice, but their voice. So Saul was trying to please fellow soldiers, and he got in trouble because of that. So here's the sort of a summary of that. God still speaks. God wants us to listen to Him. There are going to be some obstacles in our lives to try to keep us from doing that. But God wants us to listen to Him and obey. And here's the question. Number one, are you listening to God? Through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, through others, through circumstances. God is still speaking. Are we sensitive to what God is saying to us? And then, are we obeying what God tells us? That's the second problem. Just hearing it is not it. So we need to comprehend truth. Then we need to conform to that truth. And then We need to communicate that truth, and God communicates it to us. So if we don't listen to God, if we listen to the wrong voices in the flesh, then the results are always bad. And if it's Satan himself or Satan inspired by someone else, where he inspires them to lead us wrong, then we're going to pay the consequences. So we need to listen to God. Stay in the Word. Listen to the man of God when he preaches. Listen to the Word of God when it's taught. And do what God says, and you'll have God's best for your life. Thank you, Father, for your Word. And, oh, God, help us to spend much time in it. Help us to get rid of all those things that distract us from staying in the Word and spending time knowing your will. And, God, give us the grace and wisdom to do what you tell us to do so that we can have your best and glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.